thank you all. That's really what Christianity is all about. It is a love relationship with a God who is madly in love with us. Amen. We're talking about the Ministry of Helps. And this is officially, it's a School for Life class that we've just brought to Sunday morning. And we thought it would be very appropriate. Again, want to remind you, those of you who are serving or will be serving, please get credit for that. The little pink cards, make sure you get credit at the desk at the end. But we've been talking about the Ministry of Helps is a New Testament ministry listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And it is a valid part of what God does to get, in a sense, His mission and His purpose accomplished on the earth. And so God has things in His heart. And God has things that He wants to see done on planet Earth. And one of the amazing things about God is the way He set this up is that He only works through human beings. And it's one of the reasons why Jesus came in the flesh as a human, is that what man messed up, God became man and made it right. And so Jesus is now our mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. All right. So God sees a need. God sees situations that need to be remedied and where His kingdom needs to be expanded. And so He begins to speak to people and He begins to tap someone on a shoulder, and that person becomes a vision carrier, a leader. And that leader quickly finds out that what needs to be done is bigger than they can do. And really, this is just, and I know God has called many of you to leadership, that if you know that your vision is from heaven if it's too big for you. If you have a vision for your life that you think you can accomplish in your own strength, then that vision maybe came from your mama. It didn't come from heaven. Because when a vision comes from heaven, it takes God and people working together to get it accomplished. All right. So the vision carrier, the leader, realizes I can't do this alone. And so they begin to recruit. They begin to enlist. People begin to work together and they help. All right. God designed on purpose for leaders to be inadequate, for them to be not enough. God is the God who is more than enough, right? You and I are not enough. Okay, because we're connected to a body. We're connected to each other. And the Bible says, Ephesians 4, every joint supplies. All right. So every part, every member of the body of Christ has a vital role to play to see the kingdom of God come to pass. And we're talking specifically in a local church. And this would certainly apply for other types of ministries. But obviously we're talking about Miracle Life. All right, so what do we do when we help? And we said that word means to carry, to bear, all right? And there's a weight that now when we help, that now we have, all right? And really what we carry is the vision. We carry the vision and then the work that comes along with that vision, all right? So Ministry of Helps, if we want to say it just briefly, is to help the leader with the vision that God gave them. All right. So it's a God thing, but in a sense, we saw with Moses, it has burdened that leader and to say, okay, I want to help that leader, do the vision that God gave them. All right. And so I would encourage you. And I know at Miracle Life, we have folks that they travel a lot. And at Miracle Life, we really do have a diaspora, okay? And we've got people all over Zambia and Livingston, the Copper Belt. We've got people overseas. And so a lot of times when people leave, they'll say, hey, Pastor, do you know of a good church? And many times we do. And many times we can help plug people in South Africa or the UK or wherever they may be going. But just something to think about, and many of you won't be here forever, is, when you're looking for a church, obviously find a church that's based on the Bible. Amen. That believes that the Holy Spirit is working today. But you've got to find a church that has a vision. more than just opening the doors next week. All right. That they're attempting to accomplish something. All right. And so you find out what that vision is, and then you help that vision come to pass. All right. I'll never forget. I don't want to mention too many names because sometimes people get embarrassed in those things. But there's a couple, and they've been a great, great blessing to this church for, I guess, 9 years. They came just after we came. And, you know, they came from another country in Africa, visited, decided, okay, this is my church, came to membership. And then they just, one of them just literally just showed up to the office and said, all right, I'm here to help. I'm here to work. And they haven't stopped working in 9 years to help this church because we didn't necessarily give them that mentality, but they came with that mentality that when I go to church, I'm here to carry. I'm here to bear something. And I want to help that vision come to pass. And boy, I tell you, I always say in membership class, if you feel like the Lord is leading you to another city or country or something like that, I'll never try to prophesy you to stay here. But that couple, I would be tempted to prophesy, to give them a thus saith Walker, all right? But here's the thing, is that, and this is obviously, it's a personal decision you have to make, is if you don't believe that the leader has a heavenly vision, then go find a leader that does. You know, oh, the sharing Christ, maturing believers, is changing. Well, I don't know about that. Well, if you don't know about it, God bless you. But just see me after the service and I can tell you about 20 churches in this city that have a God-ordained vision. 220. Okay? But find a place where there's a vision and serve the vision. Amen? Paul talked about that. He said, in his writings, he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Okay, knowing that this is not man-made, but it's a God thing. And I just feel that the fabric of this church and our DNA is that it comes from God. There's a lot of God things that are happening that he wants to happen. Amen? So we saw that, you know, with Moses, the God thing, the God vision was get out of Egypt and get to the promised land. All right. And on various occasions, Moses needed help to do that. The apostles had a vision, had a commandment called the Great Commission. And that was to go into all the world, preach the gospel. All right. Disciple the nations and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And so those disciples who became apostles, then they began to do that. And we saw in Acts chapter 6 how that They realized, you know what, for us to do this, there's too much work. We're going to have to enlist 7 men full of the Holy Ghost that we can appoint over this business. And they did. All right. And so at Miracle Life, you know, there are things that we believe deeply, deeply, deeply that God wants to happen. And let me just read. I try to keep this with me now. But the first part of our vision statement here at Miracle Life is that we see a blazing light coming from Lusaka, Zambia. This light is a church named Miracle Life Family Church. We have seen its future brightness with God. It is a future that must come to pass and will come to pass. Next paragraph says, we see a church where the word of God reigns supreme. It grows and prevails against unbelief, culture, and worldly influence in the lives and people and creates Christ-formed lives. That's just some of what we believe with all of our heart is what God has mandated for this church to do and to become. All right. And so that means is to say, okay, Lord, this is a vision. Now, Lord, we know that you deposited this vision in Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley, and they carry it, they think about it, they pray about it. But while it is in their heart, it's also my responsibility. It's for me to have a part in seeing it come to pass. All right. And you know, like we said in the offering, my goodness, you know, people have really, really in many ways financially said, hey, you know what? I want to help carry the burden financially, and I want to help build a building and help the budget get sorted out every year. All right. And so there are people that are doing that in a variety of ways. But yes, there is more to be done for sure. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 4. And this is it's a mindset, okay, that we have to overcome. And some of this came from, if you know world history or church history, there was a time called the Dark Ages. And one of the reasons why it's called the Dark Ages is because the Bible was not available to people. Okay, the Bible was only in Latin. And the only people that knew Latin were, the super educated, the super rich, and the church leaders. Okay, so for people who came to church, they didn't understand the Bible. All right. And so if they had to know anything about God, they had to go to a church leader who understood the Bible. They could never read it for themselves. And so there came a phrase that came up out of the Dark Ages that is not biblical, called the clergy and the laity. Okay. And unfortunately, we still use that today, the clergy. That means people who are ordained in ministry and pastors and priests and different ones like that. And then the laity. And it's unfortunate, the laity, which some people would say you are, it means the common ones. Tell your neighbor, I'm uncommon. Okay? And the idea being, you know, leave ministry to the professionals. Okay, we know what we're doing. And it seems like that mentality among charismatics and Pentecostals, it's made a comeback. All right, if you need your answers to be sorted out, then you got to get to a prophet. Because they have an anointing that you don't have, and they can just do amazing things. And so get to them, bring them money, and you'll be sorted out. Okay, Ephesians 4:11. Now there are some offices called the fivefold ministry, and prophet is one of them. Thank God for prophets. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What's their job? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. To equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Okay? And so the fivefold ministers, and thank God we need more and more of those to take their place and to do their job. But it is to equip believers to do the work of ministry. All right. So in Exodus 18, last week we saw that one of the things that Jethro said to Moses, he said, you know, teach them God's laws, show them the way that they must go, and show them the work. Show them the work that they must do. Okay? So part of the role of ministry and part of the role of a church is to tap you on the back and say, hey, here's a broom. There's the work. Amen? In membership class, I jokingly say this, okay, that really, part of my job is to help you to do the, and for all of us to do the work of the ministry. All right. And so part of it is that, you know, through the tithes and offerings, you know, we've got a big staff and we got lots of stuff we're doing, but you pay me so that I get you to do the work. Deal? Sounds good. All right. You're thinking, hey, I'd like to be a pastor too. All right. So God said to Moses, all right, show them the work that they must do. And we saw such a great example in Exodus 17 where Moses was on the rock. He was on the cliff with the vision of God, and Joshua was in the battle. Okay. He was doing the work that he was supposed to do. But how many know Joshua wasn't alone? He wasn't a one man, army. He had men with him. He had others serving and working and doing the will and the plan of God. All right. Turn with me to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Because what I want to look at a little more deeply today is the heart of a helper, okay? And the mindset that God wants you to have, okay? So what does that look like? And also, where does it come from, okay? And I realize that some of us in our background, maybe the home that we were raised in, our school experience, we learned a strong work ethic. Some did, some didn't, okay? But it's more than just kind of, you know, I'm gonna be busy and I'm gonna do the job. But there's a heart behind it, and I want us to see where that comes from. In Numbers 11, okay, so Moses had been complaining to God, and God said, hey, you don't have to die, I'll help you, okay, and there's some people that will help you. So Numbers 11:16, so this is part of the answer. He said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the meeting, that they may stand there with you. Verse 17, notice this. It says, then I will come down, and I will talk with you there. So in verse 16, God asks Moses to do some things. God asks these men to do some things. All right, so people need to do some things. But then in verse 17, God says, I'm going to do some things. Then I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you, and I will put the same upon them. Everybody say the same. The same. All right. Another translation, and actually it seems like literally in the Hebrews, it says, Hebrew language, it says that I will take some of the spirit that's on you and I will put it on them. All right. So when you look at Moses, the spirit that's on Moses and the spirit that's on these men, if you looked at both of them, what would you decide? Same spirit. Same spirit. All right. Not a different spirit. All right. And so when that happens, then they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. All right. So one of the mentalities or the heart of a helper in the body of Christ is that I need to be willing to have the heart of the leader. I need to be willing to have the spirit that is on the leader. Okay. Now, growing up and serving in different churches and ministries, my wife and I endeavored to do this. We kind of didn't know why. Just seemed like the right thing. But now biblically, I think we understand. So to bear the burden of the vision means you carry the vision with the leader. All right. With the same spirit, not another spirit, not saying, God, give our leader a different spirit. You know, I want them to be different. You know, I want them to be like that guy on TV, you know? I like what somebody said one time. They said, Pastor, you're just like Joel Osteen, except you rebuke us. I think I'll take that as a compliment, all right? But I like watching Joel Osteen, but guess what? I'm not Joel Osteen, okay? I can't pull off his beautiful hair, for one. I'm not that funny, okay? But every leader, every church leader, every pastor, one of the things about them is they have a unique calling. They have a unique gift mix. All right. And sometimes I see other pastors and I see how God has wired them. And sometimes I think, oh, my life would be so easier if I had the IQ of Bishop Joshua Banda. I tell you that, honestly, I think he's the smartest guy I've ever met personally in my life. Amazing mentality and thinker and strategizer. And I just think, Lord, but here, I'm not him, right? You know, I wish I could, you know, equip and raise up leaders like Bishop Imakondo. And as I travel over Zambia, and I see all the people that he's touched and raised. Well, I've got to do it with what God gave me, right? All right, and different styles and those kinds of things. But in a church, and this is what I've discovered, is that, and I really thank God for Christian radio and Christian TV, And it's awesome. And it exposes us to so many different ministries and gifts, and our life can really be affected. All right. But the trouble is that we say, ah, man, I wish we had lights like Hillsong Australia. Man, that'd be awesome. Well, do you know how much they cost? I'll give you the bill and we'll see how much you want to have lights like Hillsong Australia. And it's kind of like we want this compilation of all the best of, all right? But the fact is, God gave you a leader at Miracle Life. He gave you my wife and me, and he's put that vision in our hearts. And we're trying our level best to be more like Jesus every day, all right? But this is who you got. Amen? And so part of your job is to say, God, I want to have their spirit. Now, I'll be honest, I've been reluctant to talk about this for a variety of reasons, because in some churches I've seen where this really gets weird, okay, is it's kind of like a mimicking, okay? You know, I'm going to have the hairstyle of the leader. And I realize for a lot of you that would be really hard to pull off, all right? Unless they're making Brazilian hair for men, okay? Or I want to have a suit like the leader, or I want, you know, it just gets weird. You know, it's like childish, okay? And I've seen strange things happen, and I've probably be honest, I've backed off of that, all right? And I think also when Haley and I arrived here, we realized, you know what, hey, Miracle Life was very, very happy with the leaders that were here. The Newberrys had done a fantastic job. And so I didn't want to rock the boat, all right? And I wanted to be there to be a smooth transition. And I realized I had never lived in Zambia before, all right? So I've probably been tentative and shy about this, but I don't need to be anymore, okay? I don't need to be anymore. And again, please don't buy my suits or my shoes or get my hairstyle, okay? But get our spirit. Get our spirit. Because if you're willing, the same spirit that's on us, God wants to put on you. The same spirit, okay? Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know, when Haley and I had the privilege of serving such a wonderful ministry when we first came to Africa, Ed and Lori Elliott, and I certainly couldn't pull off his personality, or I couldn't mimic him, but we really, really did in many ways catch their heart and catch their spirit. And when we were serving with them, a lot of times, you know, the question was, well, you know, how would Ed want this handled? All right. And, you know, knowing his heart and his values. And I know one of the things that was so strong in Ed's heart when we worked for him was that he loved and appreciated the whole body of Christ. Okay. And he blessed so many other churches and pastors, raised up other evangelists. And we got that spirit from him, and we still have it today. All right. And one of the reasons Miracle Life, why we love to bless other churches, is because we got that. We got that. All right. And there's things that God, and please understand, keep looking to Jesus. He is your role model. But get our heart, get our spirit. All right. When you're going to be serving. Philippians chapter 2. This is it's an amazing passage. It's a wonderful commendation about this person called Timothy that traveled with Paul. But it is also an incredibly bad indictment on a whole group of other people that Paul's going to talk about here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may be encouraged when I know your state. Now, why is Paul saying, I'd like to send Timothy to you? Well, because when Paul is writing this letter, he's in a Roman jail. Okay, so he is not physically able to get to them. And one of the things that is very evident about Paul's ministry is that all the places he went to and all the epistles that he wrote back to these churches, Paul really loved these people. I mean, there is warm affection in his heart for them. All right. There is warm affection, and there is in virtually every one of the writings, there is also very strong rebuke as well. All right. But that's one of the reasons why he did it, is because he says, I care about you and I want to see you grow up. Okay. So Paul had this incredible heart for the Philippians, and in his writing that you see the joy and the thankfulness that he has towards them, and he wants to see them and he wants to be with them, but he physically can't. All right. So what he's saying is, if Timothy shows up, you'll know why, because I sent him to you. I'd like to send Timothy to you. All right. That I may be encouraged when I know your state. Verse 20. For I have no one like-minded. Everybody say no one. Now, is Paul exaggerating? He can't be exaggerating, because this made the Bible, right? This was inspired literature. So Paul can't just be making something up. He's saying, I don't have anyone like-minded who sincerely cares for your state. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Now, I'll be honest, this is why Haley and I named our firstborn son Timothy. Because Timothy is one of the coolest guys in the whole Bible. All right, he is a bad motor scooter. I mean, he is awesome. And so Paul is saying, I want to send Timothy to you. I don't have anyone like-minded. These other folks, we'll look at their characteristics. But when he referred to Timothy, he said he is like-minded. Okay, and that word in the Greek is actually one word that comes from two words. Okay. And it is a word called isosuke, all right? ISO, if you remember chemistry class, isotopes, right? Some of you, the cobwebs are, you know. I'll be honest, I remember something called isotopes. I don't know what they were, okay? But the word iso means the same, okay? Identical, all right? Iso means, you know, what's in cup A is in cup B. So iso. And then the other part of that word, suke, is where, you know, we get the word psychology, right? It means the inside. Okay? You could say the heart, you could say the spirit, you could say, but it's that inside part of who we are. And so Paul is saying to the Philippians, he said, I can't get to you. And I love you so much, but I want to send Timothy to you, because he is isosuke. He has the same insides as I do. And what were those insides that Paul had? He said, I care about you. And Timothy sincerely cares for your state. All right? And I can honestly say that my wife and I care for your state. We care about the kids of this church. We care about the youth of this church. We care about the parking lot. We care about the toilets. We care about a lot of stuff. All right? But again, thank God we're not in prison. All right? But what does confine us is something called 24 hours in one day, 7 days in one week. Okay? And we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that we've got to have people, lots of people all over the church, that if they're gonna serve, they're serving with isosuke, the same heart. I'll be honest, if I got to pick a job, all right, at Miracle Life, I'd probably be the merge pastor. We've spoken a couple times for Merge this year, and when we left, I told Haley, "Oh man, maybe the answer is just get a new senior pastor, and I'll just we can just speak to these young people. This is awesome. This is fun. All right, and that's fine. And I love teaching little kids, but obviously we can't do that. So what is the solution? Is you have 2,000 Timothys, ISO." Suke, the same inside, the heart of the leader. Because what Paul was saying is, hey, Philippians, if I'm able to send Timothy to you, it's as if I came. My heart is being represented there. You are you following me? And it wasn't... again, a weird thing because he looks like me and he talks like me and he's got a hairstyle like me. But it's that I care for you. I can't get there. He cares for you and he cares for you sincerely. Okay. I'll come back to another thought, but look at, what was the hindrance? What was the hindrance of these other folks? Because there, when Paul was in Rome, there weren't a shortage of Christians in Rome. Okay, there were other Christians, and you would and it also get the implication that you're thinking about mature Christians. You're thinking about, you know, people that might have been elders or pastors, these types of folks. All right. So, what was their problem that Paul thought, I can't send you and Sally? Oh, I certainly can't send Sally. What was it that he said? I want to send Timothy. Okay, look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. It says, for all seek their own. They seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. So the things that were their own were in contrast and in competition with the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. New Living Translation says it this way. The others care only for themselves. Just everybody look straight ahead. And you know what? I have to ask myself this question, and I think we all have to ask ourselves this question. I think if we really are honest, we are more selfish than we think we are. Selfish. What does that mean? Me. You know, back when we were talking about the building campaign years ago, God kind of reminded me of this. He said, you know, Walker, he said, when you have some extra money, you don't even have a thought about spending money on yourself. Right? Almost like, hey, go out on Friday night, baby. You deserve it. Right? And so, you know, we don't have to pray about it. We don't have to seek God about it. You know, we're just going to go do this and we're going to spend this amount of money. All right. But if God were going to say, okay, that money that you spent on yourself, on that beautiful cell phone, right? Take that $4 million and, you know, help build the next building at Miracle Life. Well, Lord, I'm just going to wait on that because, I'm going to need 5 confirmations and an angel flying in the sky and, you know, and I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. Get your hands off of my money, you know. And I'm guilty of the same at times. Right? But what is that? What is that? It's good old-fashioned, 3-year-old selfishness. Selfishness. Pastor William and I, him more than me, speak to a lot of couples, married couples. And we try to help a lot of married couples. And some get help and some don't get help. Do you know what is at the root of almost every marital difference? Selfishness. I want what I want. And so the wife anonymously, you know, gives him the book, 10 Things That Every Woman Needs. Right? And she's not even opening up the book of the... And here's the thing about men. There's only about 2 or 3 things we need, all right? But she does... over here. Come on now. All right. It's a family meeting. Okay. But we just have this thing that we got from Adam called selfishness. You know, and I know we talk a lot, and I'm glad people in our country and other countries are thinking, we got to get rid of corruption. We got to get rid of corruption. Where does corruption come from? Selfishness. I'm going to take that $100,000 that's supposed to be going to a health clinic, and I'm going to buy a 4x4 for me. It's selfishness. It is not thinking that people are going to die because they don't have medicine. Yeah, I know, but I want a 4x4 anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. That's what it is, folks. And sure, without Jesus, selfishness is what makes the world go round. Okay? But in the body of Christ, we have the love of God. We have the power of God. We have the character of God living on the inside of us. And every day of our life, we can say, you know what? I'm living for Jesus. I'm living for His kingdom. And it's not about me. It includes me, but it's about Him, and it's about His honor, and it's about His glory. Amen. And so when it comes to, you know, to serving at Miracle Life, and we've got great people serving, but we need more people serving. We need more people leading. And so maybe God's going to be tugging on your heart to go teach kids. And let me say this, and I'm going to say this to First Service. And I'm so proud of the folks that serve our kids. But we need more dads, and we need more moms serving. Not, and thank God for 18-year-old young ladies that teach our kids. But these kids need a mom and a dad. I prayed for a little boy on Sunday who had lost his dad through death. This boy's about 5 or 6 years old. And I was hugging and praying. I was crying all over him. But one of the things I thought was, what's the man that's going to be in his life? And men, you know what that little boy needs when he goes to Jam World? He needs a godly man who drives a 4x4 and is an MD of a bank and is a big dog, a big man, Buona with a capital B, opening up the scriptures and talking to him as his uncle and as his spiritual grandfather. That's what that little boy needs. And thank God for the 18-year-old girl that's teaching him. But he needs a man in his life. There are men right here. You can do it. You can do it. Oh, but that... selfishness! Kill it! Kill it! Let it die! Put it on the cross! I'm above that. What? Jesus Christ, the God who made the earth, He took upon Himself the form of a servant. A servant. Pastor William talks to me about this all the time. But when Jesus came and He washed His disciples' feet? Remember that? And you remember when Peter rebuked Him? He's done this before. Jesus, you will not do that to me. No, 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 no. Why? Because the servant that washed the feet was the lowest servant in the entire society. And Peter already knew, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. The Christ, the Messiah, cannot wash my feet. But Jesus did. Why? Because He was showing us that's what life is about. It's about helping others. It's about serving others. Even if it means getting on your knees and taking cow manure out between the toes of Thomas. Folks, that's what was there. And it stunk. And there was no anointing to make it not stink. And then Jesus said, well, if I can't do this, you have no part in me. Well, if that's the case, then wash me from the head to the... Give me the whole treatment, Jesus. Okay. So it's that heart. It's that, because everybody other than Timothy, everybody else seeks their own. And here's the thing. And men, maybe the Lord's convicting you right now. Okay. And you sign up. Oh, how many classes do I, what? I have to go to 6 classes? Oh, there it is again. Kill it. Let it die. Huh? You want me here at 7:30? 7:30? I like to take my, I like to have a, I. No, no, just put I back on the cross with Jesus and die to him daily. Amen. Amen. Hey, Miracle Life, here's the deal. 2014 and onwards. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to be like Jesus. And not just, hallelujah, let's be like Jesus. No, it means like going and getting dusty and dirty and being like Jesus. Amen. But here's the thing that I've discovered. When you do this, oh, there is such a sweetness, there is such a satisfaction that you cannot describe, of loving and serving. Because what happens is that Holy Spirit, that love that's been in your heart, and he's been napping for 30 years, finally he's alive and he's energizing you, he's anointing you, and there's gifts that come out, and all these things begin to happen, and you're satisfied. Why? Because God is using you to touch other people. Amen. See, he said, others only care for themselves. Message Bible says they're looking out for themselves. They're looking out for themselves. All right. And that was a problem. Amplified says they seek to advance their own interests. They seek to advance their own interests. And listen to this, folks. When you seek to advance your own interests, what this passage tells me is when I do that, I will ignore the interests of Jesus. And that's not okay. And that can't happen. All right. Self-interest is a great hindrance to the plan of God happening in a church. All right. Let's go back to what Paul did talk to Timothy about. Is that this is what made Timothy so valuable to Paul. So valuable, as he says, I want to send him. He was the first guy. I can send Timothy. He'll go. He'll represent me. And not just give you a letter, but he has my spirit. He has my heart. You see this? And it made him very valuable to the things of God and the plan of God. All right? Now, what this tells me is this. Okay, so Paul says, I've got this guy named Timothy. He's isosuke. He's got the same heart. Everybody else, they just kind of do their own thing. Okay, what that means is that Timothy had to have made some decisions that everybody else didn't make. It doesn't seem like Timothy just got zapped. All right, is that? And this was one of the things about the disciples in the early church, and it was meant not as a compliment, but the church leaders that were against them, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They were unlearned men, but these were the guys that, so much so that they called them Christians, little Christs, like Jesus, isosuke, right? Just like Jesus. So, God wants you, and you've got to ask yourself some questions. I want to have, not the hairstyle of my leaders, but the heart of my leaders. All right? Because God sent us here for a reason, and this is one of the reasons. Okay? And please understand me. It's not, you remember the movie that came out recently? We're not looking for minions. We're not looking for Bible holders. Okay? But get our heart for God and our heart for people. Get our heart for God. Get our heart for people. Amen? And I'm so proud of so many people in this church that have it. All right? And people who will go the extra mile to love and to serve and to be a great blessing. Amen? had a staff member. This was a year and a half ago, probably. We were having lunch, and we were chatting about some things, and this subject came up. And the staff member said, "Well, Pastor, I realize I'm supposed to have your heart." He said, "How do I do that?" And I'll be honest, I was completely flabbergasted. I thought, well, nobody's really asked me that. Nobody's even attempted. Sometimes it almost feels like, you know, have you ever tried to give a little baby, green vegetables and they don't want it? They get lockjaw and you have to open her out, pry it in, close the lips, swallow it, you know. But this person was saying, "Pastor, I want to get your heart, okay?" And they don't have my cell phone or my shoes. But this staff person, among others, they have my heart. They have my wife's heart. And they are valuable. Oh, valuable, valuable, valuable. Why? Because I could pretty much send them anywhere. And they have our heart. Amen? So helpers, potential helpers, that's part of your job. Now, go back to Philippians 2. And I want to look at this because I think this is also appropriate. Because when this doesn't happen, bad things happen. Okay? So he says, I want to send him to you. Verse 25, he talked about somebody else, a guy named Epaphroditus. He said, "I considered it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, not only him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply," listen to this, "to supply what was lacking in your service towards me." So why was Epaphroditus almost dead? Because of lazy Christians in the church of Philippi. Do you see that? You know, another message we could have is, who's killing Epaphroditus? And there are some folks at this church, and thankfully they're not dying, okay? But I can tell you, they're tired, okay? And we really do, as a staff, we try to be very reasonable not to let people get overworked. But one of the reasons they do is they just love it. They just serve, all right? But folks, it's time for all of us. Get a bowl. Get a towel. Go to School for Life classes. Get equipped. Find your spot and serve. How are you going to serve? Isosuke. With our hearts. With our values. Now here's the thing. Not with our gifts, because you've got gifts that we don't have. All right? And we all have to have insight. We all have to be thinking. We all have to be thinking, Lord, how do we do this better? Because, you know, we're not masterminds. Okay? But it is with a consistent heart towards the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Okay. But I really do want to give you an additional assignment that perhaps I've been slack in and I've been lazy about. But it's this isosuke, the same spirit, same heart, same spirit that was on Moses. It's on his guys. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, thank you that you are building your church. Father, you're building it Miracle Life. You're building it down the road, across the street. You're building it all over this nation. And Father, thank you so much that you are. Lord, we have a responsibility to do our best and to get it right here at Miracle Life. So Father, help us more than ever, at a higher degree. And Father, not just, Lord, maybe that people feel sorry for Pastor Walker, Pastor Haley. Lord, I thank you that your grace is with us and on us. But Father, that we have a mission. We have a job. Father, and there are little boys and young men. There are people in our church and outside of our church that need us. They need the Jesus that's in us. So Father, help us to have a different mindset, a different heart. Lord, for people who will open up their homes for connection groups and be willing to serve and to facilitate and to help people to grow and learn your word. Father, people who will sing and stand in the parking lot, for people who will give crazy amounts of money to build our campus. Father, whatever our part is, Lord, help us to understand it and to do it, and to do it with all of our heart. Lord, I thank you that a new spirit is coming over each one of us from you. Thank you that you're building your church and that we have our part in assisting you, in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, when Jesus Christ came, he came for people. And many of us in this room, we're believers and we are assisting him and working with him to spread his kingdom. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus yet, he is reaching out his hand towards you right now. He's telling you that he loves you, that he cares about you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you are important to him. Jesus Christ, when he came, he died on a cross. And the reason why he went there was so that he could take all of the wrong things that we had ever done. And he was punished in our place. The one who had never done anything wrong so that we could go free. And friend, that offer is available to you. Well, how do I go free? How do I know God? How do I get to heaven? Well, there is only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And the reason is because no one else paid the price. No one else did what he did. And right now he gives you that way. And he wants to become your Lord and Savior. And friend, don't trust in anything other than Jesus Christ. Maybe you were baptized as a baby. You went to a class. You've come to church from time to time. But it is a personal relationship with Jesus. It is knowing him individually that makes all the difference. And that's how life comes into you. Perhaps you're here today and you realize, you know what, I've drifted away from God. I've gone on another path, and on that path has been rebellion and wrong decisions. And I'm sorry, God. And I want to come home to you. And I'm coming home today. Right now, God's reaching out to you, and you have a decision to make. Choose Jesus. Choose life. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want Jesus in my life. I want to come home to him. Wherever you are right now, lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want Jesus in my life. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Great decision. Who else? I don't want to be away from God or turn. God bless you over here. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Say, that's me. That's me. Hallelujah. Thank you over there. Yes. Well, can we all stand to our feet? Let's all stand to our feet. And let's honor and respect what these decisions are that are being made right now. Let's not slip out. Those of you that lifted up your hand, I'd ask you, just grab your Bible, your handbag, whatever you brought with you to church, and just come and meet me up front. I want to be able to shake your hand. I want to be able to pray with you individually, and I want to see God do a miracle in your life right now. Just come. Just come. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Who else? You lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand. You realize, you know, this is me. This is my moment. I'm going to know God in this way. I know there were a couple other folks that lifted up your hand, and I've thought this. What will people think? What will people think? we're going to think you're awesome. We're going to think this is the best thing that we've ever seen, what you're doing. Amen. God bless you, ma'am. Thanks for having the courage to say yes to Jesus. All right. Now, if I were going to give you this Bible as a gift, so it's mine, but I want to give it to you, how would you get it? You would reach out and receive it. And so what God has for you is a gift. You couldn't pay for it, but he did. And so now he's offering it to you as a free gift, new life, forgiveness. And so I'd ask you, just lift up your hand right now towards heaven. Close your eyes and just say this with me. Say, God, I believe that you love me, that you care for me. You sent Jesus Christ to die in my place. I receive him now as my Lord, as my Savior. Come into my life. Thank you, Father. I'm in your family. I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.